Good morning. Today is Monday, August the 2th. Joining us this morning is Eureka Police Chief Steve Watson. Good morning.
Good morning.
You made it through the 4th of July safely?
I did.
Yeah.
We did.
And rodeo week?
I did go to the rodeo on Saturday night.
Auto Expo?
I missed that one.
Oh, I would have thought you'd kind of be a car geek.
Are you stereotyping me, Brian?
Of course. Actually, I'm profiling you.
Profiling, yes.
Now,
I just
missed it. Using experience to get there, yeah. But...
I feel is envy when I go to those things, like all the, the neat old trucks and cars I'll probably never be able to own.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's surprising to me. I don't know how many folks watch the auto auction shows, you know, when they roll out and they have the auction. How similarly priced those are to a lot of rigs that you buy today. You know, so it's a four. Now, it doesn't say anything about the gas mileage. It doesn't say anything about being able to find a real mechanic instead of a computer tech. You know, some of those.
It's
those
gallons to the mile for those right. older cars, not the other way around.
Yeah.
The tank I used to drive in the Army.
That's right. I was thinking either the tank or you've been listening to Sean across the street and getting gas mileage from fire trucks that are loaded.
Well, the fire department runs on, you know, unicorns and rainbows and fairy dust. Or, so.
Oh, good. Good. We'll start that little cross street battle going again. Are you ready for your
They're
question
loved.
This morning?
No, I'm not. It's actually, frankly, the least favorite part of
good.
These mornings.
Good, good. I'll keep up the standard here. Why is it customary for the father of the bride to pay for the wedding?
Because he can.
Okay. At one time, a man literally purchased his wife from her family.
Interesting. Are they going to get into dowries and all those kind of things as well?
As a gift to the husband and to offset this expense, it became customary for the wife's family to present the husband a dowry. So you're getting there.
So I was halfway there.
You're getting there. The current practice of the bride's father paying for the wedding is an outgrowth of the idea behind the dowry. That is, something contributed by the bride's family to the groom.
Well, I have one daughter and four sons, and I would like to see that dynamic switch.
You would like to pay the dowry for
no, I would
to
like,
the bride?
I would like the bride's family to pay for the wedding of my four sons, and then I'll cover the...
I see. Your 4-to-1 ratio, you would like to invert.
Yes, exactly. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
Yes.
Been hanging around budgets too long, buddy. Oh, so with summertime, a lot of folks are traveling and doing stuff, and you've got staff wanting vacations and doing that kind of thing. How do you keep it together? I mean, as a chief, I don't think over the maybe 8 or 10 chiefs from Eureka that have been on during the show over the years, I don't think I've ever asked anybody, how do you do what you do without suffering from some of the things that the new guy does? Feeling beat down all the time. Everybody's coming after you. Not a pity party, but, okay, a recognition that, you know, I need a break.
Well, it's in our operating manual that bosses aren't allowed to have burnout, correct?
It seems to be that way. Or it's on the business license, one or the other. I'm not sure.
You know, it's interesting. We brought a licensed family and first responder therapist to the department a couple months back and arranged one-on-one private meetings with literally every member of the department, officers, dispatchers, professional staff, as a wellness check-in, especially with how incredibly difficult the last 18 months have been for not only for our country, but particularly for the profession of policing. You know, on top of everything else, and just a lot of people in general across the country, there's been pretty high level of stress. We know that. And some of that may be easing, but for the profession of policing, on the good year, it's stressful. With all of these things going on, calls for defunding the police or abolishing the police and, that kind of negative national narrative. And
until the need is there, and then all of a sudden they wonder where
you're
are.
Oh, yeah, you're seeing that in the major cities already. But,
yeah.
But, we definitely have to take care of each other and ourselves. But I remember she was telling me that it's important for the leaders in an organization to lead by example in terms of taking care of yourself, and, you know, including if you need a break, you know, that it's okay, because sometimes people don't want to leave as much as they need a vacation because they don't want to let their teammates down, which is very admirable. But at the same time, you know, you have to be in this for the long term as well, to survive a career that can be very challenging and stressful. And so it's difficult to take time off, especially in times like this. But if you don't, you'll burn out and you can face some real negative health and other repercussions as well.
Well, I would think for organizations of a certain size, and I think you guys are probably there, here again, Brian steps up. Okay. You can handle that, you know, for a week. Gives him a chance to kind of see what the big boy chair feels like, too. Yeah, I'm sure that you did it too when some of the previous chiefs were there.
Right, you serve as essentially as acting chief during that period.
Is this something I really want to do?
Whether it's training, vacation, sick, leave, or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, so the succession planning, it almost kind of is built into that, I would think. Do you guys program the times in? I know some of the, it was like the high, was it IBM? This goes back a couple of decades. In your contract, you were required to take 2 weeks off every quarter. Now, part of it was for safety. You know, make sure somebody isn't doing something goofy. You know, because if they're not there for 2 weeks, somebody else is backfilling in. And typically, if there was, you know, some shenanigans going on, things surfaced during that period of time. Okay. So, for safety purposes, that makes sense. But also for the sanity part. And it got down to it, written in the contract. You will not be paid unless you take. And that doesn't mean you do not take your laptop with you and check in. That does not mean you take your telephone with you and you check in. That means you are checked out.
Yeah, we don't have that
for sanity
in our contracts.
Yeah,
you raise a good point though, I personally found it, and I'm not alone, almost impossible to completely disconnect from work. I'm answering emails, texts, phone calls, thinking about work. And all of that. And I tried this last time. I was able to take about a week off to disconnect as much as possible, but I've never been able to really do it. You're still calling and checking in with everybody, and your staff even will encourage you. We got this. And it's just very, very difficult because you're responsible.
Well, and if it's genetically programmed in you, it's tough not to. I mean, if you really like what you're doing, and hopefully most in the leadership positions do, you know, it's fun too.
Yeah.
You know, so, but for the mental, you really do need to have some way just to take a little time away.
Yeah, it's been, I can't remember how many years since I've taken a vacation or time off where it truly felt like a vacation in terms of that dynamic.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music. ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbara Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio. Easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music. Easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time, 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Chief Steve Watson from Eureka Police Department. I don't know if I introduced you in the first one.
I don't know if anyone cares.
I think your essence came through. Sure it did. So taking a break, and now if one of the guys on staff, senior staff, management staff, refused to take breaks and unplug or disconnect, you'd be all over him like a cheap suit. Okay, so you know, I'm talking to myself in this one too. So when you get away, how do you get away so that you don't have that temptation? Yeah, you know, I mean, you're still going to be looking around for visual cues, but the checking in stuff, or looking at email stuff, you know, the things that keep you still there.
Can you give your phone to your bride?
And say, okay, you know, if the place is on fire, they'll figure it out how to get to me. But other than that, here?
There's only one way, and that's to go to some place that literally has no connection to the outside world. And then you still have it in your head. But, you know, for me, it's not worrying that the leadership team that I have can't handle things. Because, I mean, at the end of the day, no one person is that important. And, you know, they're very good at their jobs, and I have a high degree of confidence in them. It's not that. It's just that sense of, you know, when you're the boss, when you're the chief, you know, you carry that ownership, that accountability, that weight where you feel responsible and you care. You worry about how the welfare of everyone and how they're doing. You worry about what's occurring in your community and the plethora of just details and minutiae that come with the job that you have to be attentive to. And it's just very difficult.
So what did the therapist then tell you when you started to go down this little trail? Say, you know, get real, get normal. Hey, wait a minute. You know, you got people that can handle this stuff for you. It'll be there for you next Monday.
Well, I was telling her that, you know, we had just went on this. It was just over a week-long vacation we were able to carve out. In fact, it was the
same
one.
You even had a tough time saying vacation, didn't you?
It was the same one we took last summer, and I had to bring my whole family back early because we had a critical incident in the city. So we never even got. And so it was kind of meaningful in that sense. But you know, and we had a good time, but you know, I was just trying to explain how I felt guilty being gone, and she corrected me in that, literally, and said, "You have to, and you need to set this example as well, and you know, plus we have families. It's not just about us. You know, I have five children in my case. Well, a wife that needs their husband, or a husband that needs their wife. You know, kids that want to see their dad, and you know, you miss those precious moments you never get back. And so I try to remember that, because it's not all about me either, but it's difficult.
Well, and I think most of us, many of us, flash back to, okay, when our kids were growing up, you know, your family's a little younger than mine, okay. Or when we were growing up, you know, was everybody around all the time? What was it that you wish would have been different? And you can project that into yourself pretty readily and go, okay, I understand, yeah. Right. And do that kind of thing. But cops are, I think, you guys are about as close as to radio is any profession.
Just so happens we're on the radio all the time.
Yeah, well, not the military
different
element
kind of radio,
of it.
But
not the closed circuit thing, but the fact it's 24/7. You're in the public. If something goes sideways, in theory, everybody in the community can know about it before you do. Okay, and people have long memories. Yeah. Hey, okay, is this what I signed up for? I don't know that much about groceries, so let's just say, you know, they shut the doors. Okay, if something goes sideways, nobody knows about it until they open the door back up. They can get away a little bit, get a respite.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sure you sleep with a scanner somewhere in the neighborhood or the equivalent of that. I sleep with a radio, you know, and we're listening. Even when we're not there, we're still listening. So to do that disconnect, unless it's like a cruise ship or something where you really aren't there, it's tough.
And public safety is obviously a 24/7, 365 operation. We don't get to close our doors. And so especially for command staff, you're always on call. So we have people that are literally on call, like detectives that, hey, this is your week, or evidence technicians, for instance. The command staff, like the captains and some of the managers, you're always on call. And so you may not be compensated for it or officially on the books, but you have to answer the phone. And, you know, unless you arrange, you know, that someone's going to cover for you this week because you're going somewhere, but in general, you get that call. And for example, my captains, it's not unusual to get called multiple times during a weekend to deal with issues that are occurring out there on the street, and then I get some of those calls as well afterwards.
Is it because the structure is that way? Now I'm talking private citizen, Steve. Is it because the structure is that way, or is that just the nature of the beast?
Well, both. I mean, because we're not a huge agency, so I have two captain positions
guys,
allocated, right?
Yeah.
And so in the department's divided up where I have a captain, for example, that's over field operations and patrol, another over investigations and special teams. And, you know, depending on what the issue is, if it's a major critical incident, it's going to involve both, you know, or at least their personnel. But let's just look at the patrol captain, for example, or the captain that's covering for that. You know, there's always things going on. And so, there's certain notifications that things I want to know about, I need to know now, not on Monday, over the weekend, and they know that. And same thing.
So they kind of have those topic areas or those situations that it's like, okay,
yeah,
everybody needs to know. Boom.
Right.
Yeah.
So and when in doubt, you know, the captains want to be called because they're responsible. They're accountable to me as well. And, you know, they don't want to find something out on Monday from me. And so, and they feel responsible for, you know, their people, and they manage the city. So if it's something that could have a major impact on public safety, on the department, a member of the department, on, you know, the community, the captains are going to want to know about it as well. And so we can direct the resources that are needed.
It's 8:30.
Something big.
Okay, it's a nice ride.
It's going to happen.
Stand by playback.
And now.
Meet Radio.
I keep forgetting I'm president.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
Good morning, KINS. News and Information Time is 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Eureka Police Chief Steve Watson. Steve, one of the things, and I think Lou Quimby has beat us about the head about this for decades on the show, is balance. You know, we've talked about it in line of law enforcement of make sure all your friends aren't cops. Make sure that they're all not investigators. Get normal people around you.
Exactly what the therapist will tell
get
you.
Get outside, yeah. So how do you strive for the balance? Because, you know, balance to you might mean hanging out with a bunch of police chiefs. Everybody, this is fun, and everybody's talking the same language. Kind of like with me geeking out with my radio buddies. Oh, yeah. Is that normal? No. Nobody's definition of normal. But it is very comfortable for us. So how do you build that balance in, or check in that everybody has that balance built in?
That is a key point and a key question that, you know, you read any of the books or listen to any of the experts on the topic, they really encourage with public safety. It's truly that you have a life outside the work, because the work can easily be all-consuming and becomes your identity. And so you have to be more than that and develop friendships. That's been a challenge for me, I will say. I see some people do it very well. They're very involved in local sports leagues. They coach. They have other friends. And, you know, you can see it. You could see, less stress often. They just seem to have that balance, maybe a little more joy often. And so it's certainly a goal to strive for, something to encourage, something, again, if you read books like Emotional Survival for Law Enforcement, that's one of the points that Dr. Gilmartin makes in the book. And we could talk this topic all day long. I do want to say one thing. We talked a lot about the impacts of the profession on the chief or command staff. But really looking at the men and women that are out there, boots on the ground, doing the job every day, especially in situations like today where we're very short staffed, even at emergency levels in some cases, they've got to pick up the slack even more than anyone. And they're filling overtime positions to maintain minimum staffing and delaying or deferring vacations. And the respect that I have for their willingness, their loyalty, their dedication to the community and to each other to step up, in times like this, because these things go in cycles. We'll get through this, but right now it's rough. May get rougher for a while. We'll get through it, but this they're really stepping up, and I admire that our dispatchers, you know, our officers. We even in records, we have a manager and one records technician right now. She's down three positions, over 50%, and the workload has exponentially increased with some changes to the laws and some new things that are taking place. And they're managing somehow to get it done right now. But there's a cost that comes with that.
Pizza parties?
You can't throw enough pizza to thank them for what
they're
doing.
Well, I know,
right
but I mean, but, those yeah. types of... to me, it's kind of a double-edged sword. I look at the folks that are able to do the 9-to-5 mentally. I mean, it may not be really what their hours are, but when they're gone, they're gone. And they are able to shut it down. Or I had a buddy say, you know, he has a worry tree out in front. When he gets home, all the worries get hung on the tree. And they're there for you in the morning.
My tree would tip over and
yeah,
lay on the
yeah,
ground.
Yeah. Mine got clear cut a couple years ago.
I need a bigger tree.
Yeah. But and then on the flip side, I don't know how you could do your job and be able to shut it down and not think about it, you know, with what I do, with what you do. It's like, no, that you can't. So there's jealousy as well as there's a total not being able to have anything in common. It just is interesting, some of those
It was
ways.
Easier for me as an officer to leave work behind, or if I was thinking about it, I was thinking about how exciting it would be to go back, you know, because I, you know, just really love the field work, especially as a young officer and deputy. And so, but there are certain cases you carry with you sometimes. You'll see something, experience something, and you can't stop thinking about it. But apart from that, you're not carrying a big caseload, and you don't carry the weight like you do as you rise through the ranks. You know, that responsibility, that ownership for there's a murder in the city. I feel personally responsible for that. And the captain in that service area probably feels responsible, even if there was nothing they could do. And now they're responsible to see that that crime is solved. And there's, you know, it's just a lot that comes with, you know, as you know, with positions of authority. And that's a two-sided sword because you carry the stress, but it's that ownership, it's the giving a darn that can make you, you know, keep you focused, energize you, motivate you to do the best that you can for those that, you know, for your community.
One of the things that I read some time ago was that the average person laughs, a real laugh, not a sarcastic giggle, but a real laugh, less than two times a day. That's it, and that's it. And one of the ways to alleviate personal stress and da-da-da-da-da is to laugh more. I can't imagine not laughing half a dozen times an hour, let alone, now some of it isn't myself, okay, fine. Yeah. But laughter, is that something that's talked about with cops? Is to be, lighten up, have humor, breathe, enjoy in between the moments of panic and activity. Laugh.
You know, we inherently do it. And that's why sometimes, you know, someone might look over and they'll see a cop suddenly laugh about something on the scene of a bad traffic accident or something. It's not that they don't care or they're trying to be insensitive, but it is that stress reaction. And you get kind of that gallows humor that comes with it that, you know, there are bright lines you don't cross with that. But
right.
That's where that
and,
comes
and
from.
You
it's
don't
a
have
stress
to explain
relief.
It sometimes yeah. either. I mean, you can just kind of laugh and yeah, I right. just thought of something funny.
Yep.
Oh, okay. I mean, it is. But, yeah, it's interesting some of those stress relief mechanisms that some of us have naturally and others have to learn, you know, or have their superiors double-check and make sure that they're right. De-stressing one way or the other.
That's why it's always fun to work on a team where you have that clown or that person with that great sense of humor because they tend to bring everybody up.
Yeah, drain the swamp. Used to be the phrase. I don't know if we can even say that anymore and not get in trouble.
With global warming.
Drain the swamp.
There's no swamps left the way we're coming.
Oh, right? Yeah, right, okay. Drain the sea. It's 8:42.
Hey, folks. Flying local is buying local. And with three airlines serving five destinations, Humboldt County has more choices than ever. Fly an American, Avelo, or United Airlines. We have service to Denver, Hollywood Burbank, LAX, Phoenix, and San Francisco airports. Now's the time to book and save on that getaway. Or have friends and family fly to visit the beautiful Redwood Coast. For more information, go to flyhumboldt.org. Fly Humboldt, more flights to more destinations.
Good morning, KINS. News and Information Time. It's 8:47. We're back talking shop this morning with Steve Watson. Steve, the humor that's there, and I'm sure that there's some stuff that you can share with non-officers, but a lot of it is probably just stuff that, you know, I wouldn't appreciate. Not like, but I wouldn't understand the humor behind it. When you tell somebody who else wearing the badge, you guys just roar on and roll on the floor. Funny. When you're striving for that balance, and whether it's in the humor area or other areas, how do you know what you can share at home or you can share with guys like me that are not sworn, that we don't know what's going on, or the confidentiality stuff? Is it a zone or is it a real hard line that you train not to cross?
Well, I mean, you know, the cops enjoy, for example, you know, the humor that they have because of the shared experiences. So that's why they get each other. They understand each other, obviously. And someone from the outside looking in that hasn't shared those experiences might not. But, yeah, I mean, you know, humor is something that you also have to be careful with, because you can cross a line into something that's completely inappropriate. Or worse is allowing, you know, the stress, the cynicism or whatever to begin to shape attitudes that go a direction that aren't healthy, that could – demean people, for example, and that's absolutely inappropriate. You got to bring it back in. There are lines, but you know, we might joke about something that seems wildly inappropriate, and I don't mean, again, something that's racist or misogynist or whatever. I mean just something that, like, that's not funny, but yet cops might find a way, or firefighters or nurses in the ER, something funny about it that the average person that doesn't have those lived experiences is not going to understand.
Right. And it's almost career specific.
Yeah. So, yeah. You need to be careful of your audience and the impacts of those. Yeah. You know, the secondhand laughter may not occur in some cases.
Yeah. Yeah. If you're looking to thrill the crowd, there may be crickets going on.
Yeah. And, you know, plus sometimes you can only, all you got left is you're going to laugh or cry. So, you know, I'd rather laugh, you know, on that, just because, again, some of the experiences.
Can't
that,
get
you know,
worse, that kind of stuff. And then God realizes that it was a challenge.
Yeah. So, I mean, that not only stress relief, but that can build some resilience as well, because you have to be resilient in these professions.
That's what I was
wondering. Don't survive.
As you age out, well, okay, that may be the wrong phrase, but as your experience grows and grows and grows, not developing the elephant skin and becoming so insulated and still having that vulnerability, where does that come in? Is it an internal thing? Is it a staff thing? Is it a family thing? How do you remember, you know, your little Steve also, in addition to police chiefs?
Yeah, I'm actually a little curious to see, because if I look back, the Steve Watson before I became a cop to the Steve Watson today, and how much I have changed. And there's much of that I don't want to give back. That's my life. My experiences, it's formed who I am today. You know, obviously we tend to think sometimes that, well, we have the correct, accurate view of life because what will I look like 5 years after retirement as I start to let these things go? Will some of my old self come back and balance? You spoke about balance that. Because I don't think you can escape our profession without some degree of cynicism. I don't know that that's possible.
You can't escape life.
Right. Well, that too. But I mean, an extra degree of cynicism. But you can't let that cynicism go so deep that it
corrupts.
Yeah, it corrupts.
Yeah, yeah. It would be really interesting, and I don't know if this is something you guys did during this series or not, is what was something you really, Officer Bob, what was something you really, really, really liked to do when you were 12? Do you still? Or is it changed a little bit, or have you totally forgotten or gotten away from some of those things?
Well, as my sons remind me all the time.
Stuff. Yeah.
I used to love to video game, and I'll be honest here, much later than age 12 as well.
Are we thinking Pong?
Well, of course, back then, Atari 2600 or whatever, but up through, you know, some of the modern games. But for the last 10 years or so, I just really haven't got an Xbox sitting in my den where I had great aspirations, and I don't play anything on it. My kids it drives them nuts. They're like, Dad, play games with us, do this. So that's one thing I'm not doing that I used to do. Maybe I grew it. Maybe I've got other things on my mind. I don't know.
I would think that you probably wouldn't play the blood and gore games.
You'd think.
You'd think.
There may be some Battlefield franchise, the Call of Duty, that gets in there from time to time. It's been a while. My kids love it when I do play with them, whether it's football or whatever, and I don't do it enough.
Those types of things, yeah. Yeah, it's just it keeps you sane, keeps us all sane. Thanks for coming by.
All right.
All right. Thanks. Join everybody. See you tomorrow.